Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The work of Delaware-born artist Renita Corsi melds the traditional crafting of her native Nanticoke tribe with the style of vintage streetwear. Her art, including intricate beadwork, is on display this month at the Delaware Division of the Arts Mezzanine Gallery in Wilmington. And in this week's Arts Playlist, Corsi joins Delaware Public Media's Martin Matheny to chat about her work, the importance of community and tradition, and her journey as an artist.
You've got a really fascinating background. So I wonder if you can start by just talking about your background and kind of your journey as an artist.
Yeah, so my background, my mother is German and a little bit Irish, and my father's family are descendants of the Nanticoke tribe based out of Sussex County, Delaware. Millsboro is my hometown. And we lived in Millsboro until I was 11. And then we moved to Southeastern Virginia. And so from there, I joined the Navy. I served as a hospital corpsman for 4 years. And I served in San Antonio, Texas, and San Diego, Norfolk, Virginia, then finished out in Hawaii. And then that's why I decided to go to college in Hawaii. I earned a bachelor's degree in animal sciences with a pre-vet concentration. Got accepted into Washington State as a veterinary college, and then I got pregnant with my son shortly after. So I decided to forego that opportunity and raise my son and plant some roots back in Delaware, my home state. So that's what brought me back here. And so coming back to Delaware was big for me in that I reconnected with a lot of childhood friends that I had known before we moved. And then subsequently just reconnecting with the tribe, getting involved in the powwows, getting involved in learning beadwork. It just kind of all snowballed into one another, you know, and it kind of led me to get inspired to create my own brand, which is called the Nanticoke Native. It's kind of in my mind, its goal is to become like a collaborative brand with other native creators, other people who are motivated by the same things I'm motivated by, specifically in our state and in our tribe, would be awesome. But any native, you know, owned or led brand would be amazing to collaborate with. And so right now the tag, you know, is modern streetwear meets native traditional, or native traditional meets modern streetwear. And that's kind of my vision. But pushing beyond those boundaries, I kind of want to get involved in regalia construction, learning how to make like traditional regalia, fancy jingle dresses, things like that is what I'm interested in, as well as like showing my love for thrifted finds. You know, I like my stuff a little haunted. And so combining native traditional with vintage streetwear is really cool as well. So I'm kind of interested. I got my hands in a lot of pots with that. kind of interested in doing a lot of things. But for right now, I'm just getting started. I've done beadwork since about 2022. Started prepping and purchasing materials in 2021, shortly after I had my son, and then actually started in 2022. And so it just kind of grew from there. And so now I would say I'm pretty proficient in two needle flat stitch, which is kind of like your basic, you know, flat beadwork that you see on, you know, on anything, whether it be a medallion or a moccasin or anything like that.
I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the process of creating beadwork, whether it's traditional or more modern influenced. What does it take to start from scratch and put a piece together?
A lot of it is just the design. That's the hardest part. Once you get your design down, if you have a picture in your head of what you want to do, or you're inspired by something somebody has done and you want to do that, a lot of it is prep work. So materials, gathering materials. And so for me, it's important to have materials that you can't just get at Michael's, you know, down the road, or Joann's, you know, before it closed. So a lot of that is shipping times that we have to work with, because I source a lot of my beads out of India. And then hides as well. A lot of native artwork is, of course, backed by moose hide, buffalo hide, brain tan deer hide. So you have to source those out. And I try my best to purchase from native companies, you know, on Etsy, or, you know, Cooley Dam Washington is a big one for me. Tribal Spirit Drums, Northland Visions out of Minnesota. Those are big ones that I purchase from. So a lot of it is material gathering, and then it's a lot of sketching, which art is not something that came naturally to me as a kid. It's like a muscle that you have to exercise just like anything else. And so it's a lot of sketching, it's a lot of color combinations, what works, what doesn't work, substituting out last minute, and just kind of letting it flow from there. That's what works for me.
As I was getting ready to talk to you, as I was preparing for this interview, I found a line that really stood out to me in one of the things I read, talking about how for your work, tradition and innovation live side by side. And I wonder how they coexist, how they interact, how they get along, or maybe sometimes don't get along in your work.
That's interesting. Yeah. I think that it can go both ways. I agree. Especially when it comes to regalia making, we cling to tradition, from what I understand. I've never made a full set myself, but there's not a lot of straying from what used to be. And I feel like it should be that way. We should try to keep the regalia construction as traditional as possible and not branch out. But I like to play and push boundaries with, okay, what would it look like if, outside of the powwow circle, of course, I made a pair of beaded moccasins that look like Nikes, like that had like a Nikes check mark, and that would be pretty fly in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like to have my son walking around with like some like Jordan 1s beaded mocs, like that would. And you see it today, like a lot of native brands are partnering with these big, like Bee Yellowtail out of Montana. She just partnered with Carhartt and is designing a whole line, designed a whole line for them. So we're seeing these native traditional styles in these modern streetwear already. It's happening, it's already happening, and I think it's one of the coolest things.
The works in this collection at the mezzanine are all inspired by people who are important to you. I wonder if you could tell me about one or two of the people that you're honoring in this work.
My children, for sure. First and foremost, Sage and Sunny. I'm such a better person now than before I had them and before I got to meet them. So I have to dedicate, and several pieces are in dedication to my children. In the exhibit, it consists of 10 pieces total, and two or three of those are for my children. And then I have to shout out and mention James Johnson. We called him Uncle Mook. He's one of those uncles that, wasn't a family uncle, but was an uncle, still. And he passed away a few years ago. He was, without a doubt, one of the best creative minds I have ever met, in that he was a free thinker. He said anything he wanted to say, but he said it with tact, which is not an easy thing to do. And he was, without a doubt, also one of the funniest people I've met. So I had to honor him and his wife by creating a piece that reminded me that not everything's perfect, right? Because I wasn't happy with the piece in its entirety when I finished it. And so I was like, oh, I'll just keep this, as part of my, collection that I'll keep and look back on. And then my daughter thought it was a good idea to throw the two pieces in the bathtub, one day. And I reflected on it, because deer hide and water are not entirely friendly with one another. So I thought about it, and I said, you know what, this is perfect, because my Uncle Mook had a saying that we all remember, anybody who spent time with him, and he said, everybody's got roaches, right? And that was his way of saying, nothing's perfect. Nothing's going to be perfect. Nobody is perfect, and everybody's got their own thing going on. And so I titled the piece, Everybody's Got Roaches, because one, it honored him. Two, it reminded me that the piece, albeit not perfect, is good enough. And he was definitely one of the people in my garden that I'll remember forever, and his smart mouth made the world feel a whole lot lighter.
One of the things that stands out to me in talking to you is the humility and the sense of community that you bring to your art, that you're part of something larger and being very mindful of that. I wonder if you could just sort of reflect and expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. It comes so naturally to me, to include people who are important to me in whatever I do, you know, whether it be work or I don't know. I feel it is a part of who I am, you know, to naturally want to honor or respect or shine a light on somebody who either inspired me or that it just comes so naturally, whether it comes to people who I grew up with or people who I love now, you know, my children or my best friends. Like I title some of my earrings after my coworkers, you know, who like mean a lot to me. It's just, it comes so naturally to want to shine a light on that, as well as remind me that it's bigger than me. You know what I mean? Like it's bigger than like, I don't want it to be all about me, you know, and what I want it to be about things that are important to me, which are people, you know, people that I love, concepts that I love, sayings that I love, just so effortless, you know.
Thanks to Delaware artist Renita Corsi and our Martin Matheny for joining us on Arts Playlist. Corsi's work is on display this month at the Mezzanine Gallery in Wilmington's Carville State Building. For more information on the exhibition, visit arts.delaware.gov. More of Corsi's work is online at nanticokenative.com. And for a deeper conversation, listen to this story online at delawarepublic.org. And we wrap up The Green next with Enlighten Me, where a University of Delaware professor offers advice on how to make your holiday season truly happy. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.